Okay, recording as well. Roll call taken.
The recording has started.
Okay, so I'm also recording on that free conference call, so it looks like we've got, provided it works. So we've got two. We don't have either the chair or the chair-elect, so is it all right if I just conduct this meeting?
Bob, can you hear me? This is Robert Cosin.
Hey, Robert. Oh, Robert, you're here. Okay, chair-elect, Robert, will you conduct the meeting?
Sure, with a little help. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. No, it's good. We did a preliminary roll call before we got everybody on to make sure that we had enough people here, so maybe it's just easier to have Marilyn read who is online.
Sounds good.
Marilyn, if you'll read into the recording who you have
okay, present.
Accounted for.
Present is Robert Van Dyke, Scott Stevenson, Kathy Locker, Jan Ferris, Stephen Garside, Will Carlson, Ed Montgomery, Ryan Peters, and Yvette Rodier. For staff would be Bob Church, Marlise Jones, Marilyn Jasperson, and Ron Waite.
Anybody else? Okay. So, Rob, what we need to do is Robert is talking about that electronic policy, if there's any changes, suggestions, and then move to adopt a policy. Who just joined?
This is Craig Barlow. Sorry.
Hey, Craig.
Oh, hi, no. Craig.
Hi.
So I'm assuming everybody's taking a look at that, and I guess I'll just ask if there are any issues anybody sees or any questions or concerns.
I take that
I move to adopt.
And who is that?
I think that was
Rob Van Dyke. I moved to adopt it.
Oh, Rob Van Dyke. Thanks,
Rob Van Dyke moved to adopt.
Ryan Peters moved to second.
Thank you.
And Robert, if you'll call for a vote then.
All right, all the ayes.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, sounds like it passes.
Wait, thank you. Okay, then I'll just jump in here, Robert. So the purpose for this meeting, as I said in the email, is to bring you up to speed on what we're doing for spring conference. I won't bore you with the long and short of the story. We were able to get out of the contract with Sheraton. We do have a date for next year. We just secured that this morning, so you can put this down on your calendars. It's going to be April 29th and 30th next year at the Sheraton. And Judge Jimonis has agreed to be the first speaker, the keynote speaker that morning, since we decided, the training committee felt that having him do a video conference just wasn't what we wanted, and you know, people wanted to hear him, so we're just bumping him to next year. Steve Garside suggested that we negotiate or talk to the individual that does the live feed broadcast as well as a recording for the Layton City Council meetings. Let this gentleman, his name's Bill, what he does is here. Everybody, sorry about that. Is everybody still there? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he, like I said, he does a live broadcast of the Layton City Council. Steve might know who else he does. I think it's maybe Weber and Davis counties and some of the other cities up north. So is, you know, up to speed, knows how to do it, and has agreed to do it for $1,600. We thought that we would have to spend several thousand dollars to get a good recording and broadcast, so we felt like $1,600 was a good deal. We haven't signed a contract with him yet, you know, pending the council's approval. But Ron, will you jump in real quick and just tell the council and see as well how it works for Leighton, but Ron, what he's proposing to do for us.
You want me to, what he's basically going to stream it live. We're going to have a link on our website. It'll just be basically, you go to the website and you'll go to that link on the front page. It'll show a video screen and you can show it in small size or you can enlarge it full screen and just watch it right there. It'll just be broadcast live through YouTube and we'll have the link on our website so it's easy to get to.
So they will only be able to access this through our webpage, though, right? It's not like they're going to be able to go to YouTube and search for it.
You might be able to go to YouTube if you had the right thing, but I didn't get that information from me. But
okay.
If it goes to our website, the link will be right there.
So, Steve, how does it work for Leighton City? I mean, is it a good quality? Do people like it?
It is. He sends it live over Facebook Live as well as YouTube, and he also is the main guy for Channel 17. The quality is good. You can, if you wanted to go to our website and look at some of the prior council meetings, or if you're extremely bored by sheltering in place this evening, you can always chime in. Our meeting might last 20 minutes tonight. But Eddie's great to work with. I mean, he's been phenomenal. He's actually will bring his computer so that he can send the PowerPoint and everything through it so that it shows up on the screen as opposed to having a speaker there with whited out with the background. So it does a pretty good project, product. So if you want to, like I say, look at any past meetings, feel free.
Okay, thanks. We had somebody joined us while Steve was talking.
Stephen Foote.
Hey, Stephen, thanks.
Thanks, Stephen.
Robert, so now you can, we'll have Stephen take over the meeting.
All right, I'll sit back and listen.
No, thanks. So, Stephen, we were just bringing everybody up to speed on broadcasting from Leighton. Is, just so the council's aware, you know, we talked about with the training committee and as a staff postponing, but we felt that, we couldn't postpone this because with the new legislation that's going into effect, people needed to know that, and not knowing when we could postpone it to, we were looking at probably late in the summer before we could hold a live conference. So the training committee felt that this was the best course of action. We're keeping it on the same date. It's a relatively inexpensive way to get a good quality recording broadcast. It'll be at the same time. As you saw from the agenda, we've only deleted or taken off two speakers from the proposed agenda that we had, Judge Jimenez and then Emma Houston. Emma has agreed to speak at fall conference, so we will still get to hear from her this year. You know, this year's theme is battling bias, so we will get to hear from her. It'll just be postponed until fall. Any questions about what the training committee has proposed and what we are moving forward with?
One thing that we did fail to address, and I know that Marilyn can get on top of this quick, is to make sure that everybody can order their fajitas for the luncheon speaker.
I'm all over it, Steve.
Yeah,
are you delivering those, Garside?
Curbside.
I can't. I don't know that that would be essential travel, but I could always send it through Amazon.
Okay.
Well, what we'll do is we'll bring fajitas in for John and Lance, and we'll broadcast them live eating fajitas, and then others can join in.
Interactive.
So, Stephen Foote, maybe we should maybe get a motion. On a higher bill. What's Bill's last name? Stephen Garside, Mr. Garside?
Francis.
We have a motion on producing the spring conference at the way that the training committee has proposed.
Who is that?
Rob.
And do we have a second? I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? There you go.
Thank you. Okay, so then, like I said, here's the reason for the call. Is the committee was talking about reducing the registration fees. You know, it's $125, but, and Steve and staff, if you'll chime in as well, what they felt is since it's not a live conference, you know, we're not feeding them our traditional fajitas, they don't have that camaraderie, all of that, that the council consider reducing the registration fee for this conference. I didn't feel like that was a decision that we could make on our own or the training committee could make, and so that's why we're coming to you. Is a suggestion was reducing it down to $100, and then the suggestion was made reducing it down to $75. We obviously are not going to be incurring, you know, tremendous amount of costs by going to the Sheraton, and so that's one reason why the suggestion was made to reducing it down to $75. I mean, there were some other considerations that we looked at. One, this year, House Bill, I think it's 492, and I'll go into this more in detail in April when we meet again, but we are no longer moving forward in fiscal year 21 going to be reliant upon the surcharge. The legislature has passed this bill, and the surcharge is now going to the general fund, and all agencies and organizations that were receiving surcharge funds starting next year will receive dedicated funds in the amount of what we received in FY19. So for us, that amounts to $492,000, which is great because we no longer have to worry about the surcharge going down. The downside is if it were to ever go up again, we wouldn't receive that benefit, but I doubt that it's ever going to go back up. The financial challenge is that $492,000 doesn't take into account the $32,000 we had in carryover last year. And so I've got a meeting scheduled with Kimberly Schmeling, the chief financial officer here in the office, to figure out just exactly what that carryover consisted of, and if that's something that, you know, we think that we will continue to get. And so really last year, we had about $523,000 that we were able to use to budget for our conferences, and if there's not that same carryover, then we're going to have actually less money in our budget to spend on conferences and salaries and other services that we had last year. But because I don't know exactly what that is, I don't want to go into a lot of detail. I just wanted to make you aware that that was one of the factors the training committee was looking at in deciding whether or not to charge, you know, reduce it down to $100 versus $75. Obviously, with 100, we would make a little bit more. I think we would carry that over. I think, you know, funds like that would carry over. But again, I don't know that for sure. Whereas with $75, we're still going to make money. It's just less of a potential carryover. Steve, staff, anything else that I'm leaving out?
The recent email that Kimberly Schmeling just sent out in regards to refunds. So we've already received out of 135 that have registered for spring conference prior to the COVID-19, about half of those have paid their registration fees. From what I get from that email, they would like to have participants be credited that difference to another conference, whatever that amount is.
In other words, instead of refunding, is we would just carry that over and credit it towards a conference that person would attend next year.
Right. Or this year, you know.
Well, Marilyn, this is Craig. I want to just be clear. So there were probably 10 or 15 people from my division, I think all of whom have pre-registered. So if we drop this to $100, you guys would keep the 100 and you would credit the 25 and it for a conference in the fall or something? Is that?
Well, the AG's office is unique because I do an internal transfer post-conference. So in terms of the AG's office, that's not going to apply. It's going to apply to those who actually give me a check.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So really, before we go to discussion, Steve, is there anything else from training committee that you remember, Marlies?
Those were primarily the issues why we were entertaining a reduction.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Bob, this is Jan.
Uh-huh.
Was there any discussion on the price for non-prosecutors? Because it seems like we do have defense attorneys that come to spring conference, and so
I
would
want
a higher amount for them, I would suspect.
Yeah, no, the committee said we were just going to leave, or maybe it was staff, but we talked about just leaving that the same for them and not you know, discounting for them.
That sounds good to me.
What are our costs going to be with this new format of the conference?
Oh, nominal. It's going to be the $1,600 that we contract with Bill for, and some mileage for some of our presenters that will be driving up, and then lunch for the handful of people that will be there at Layton City. And so what I've told the presenters is obviously I will be there, Marilyn will be there. I think Marlies and Tyson will probably be there the entire time. Steve, if you and your people want to come in, as long as, if we can keep it, we need to keep it under 10 and maintain 6 feet of distance, but we felt like we needed a couple of warm bodies there for our presenters to present to. So lunch for 10 people.
And it also includes CLE for everyone.
Right. Thank you, Marilyn. Yeah, the $15 CLE for everybody that signs up. So a couple $1,000.
More than that.
$4,500?
Yeah, about $4,500.
Okay. Yeah, $5,000 or less.
This is Will Carlson from the District Attorney's Office. Our office is anticipating severe financial restrictions in the wake of COVID-19, and we've imposed serious restraints on any training that we're engaged in going forward. And so what I've been directed to suggest or recommend, request, is that the cost for spring conference be as absolutely low as possible. I think the financial impact on all of our agencies is going to be pretty substantial going forward, and to the extent that we can minimize training expenses, that's what we'd like to do.
Sure. Do you have an amount that you want to suggest, or do you want further discussion and then propose
an amount? If the cost for the conference is $4,500, like making it as close to net neutral as possible.
Okay. So one thing that I would say in response to that, Will, is we will be recording this, and so if people chose to watch it at a later time, if they watch at a later time, the registration fee may go up. Sorry, I'm not making sense here. Is people will have the option of watching it live or the video recording. I guess I want to make sure that we understand that we're just talking spring conference registration fee only, not for future conferences. So maybe the question bears asking is, let's say somebody after COVID has passed and we're back to operating normal, if people want to come in and watch the video of this conference, they're going to have to pay a registration fee, you know, to get their CLE. Would we want that fee to go back up to the $125 or keep it at whatever fee the council decides, you know, if people are going to watch it live? Does that make sense?
Sure. And I think to the extent that we create a fee that covers all the costs but not much else for the spring conference, anybody who after the fact watches the recording and pays that same amount, that's just extra funding.
Right, that's true.
That we estimate
that's true.
Correctly.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, this is Bob. ahead.
So, my only concern with...
This is Rob Van Dyk, right?
Yes. So, my only concern with reducing the price is looking at the financial longevity of UPC. So, with the change in the law, it sounds like, for the most part, that's taken care of. So as long as those finances are really being looked at, I'm willing to take whatever recommendations that the committee makes to us, as long as they really took that into consideration. Because even this year, while we're still relying on the surcharge, that's basically dropped off the face of the earth at this point,
right?
So that's my only input.
So, Bob, let me ask you a question. This is Stephen Foote.
Yes.
Where are we at? Obviously, I know you don't have everything, but financially speaking, if this were the last conference before the end of your fiscal year, I know we have the our prosecutor's assistance conference still to go.
Right.
But if this were the last conference we gave this year, where do we sit financially right now as far as ending the calendar year?
Oh, that is a good question that I didn't even think about before this meeting. Marilyn, can you get into QuickBooks?
Yeah.
Okay, Marilyn's going to go into QuickBooks, and actually, here, I can log in as well. So can we defer that answer, Stephen, for just a second?
Sure. Just looking to see if we're in the hole right now or where we're going to be.
Right.
What are we going to do as far as the prosecutor? I think we really need to consider also a similar type thing for our prosecutor assistance conference.
Right. Well,
so,
Marilyn, do you want to respond to that or Kathy?
Well, I have a question on that. How many of you in your jurisdictions would send your assistants? Because as it is, Salt Lake County is not going to send theirs. How many of you are going to send yours?
Hi, this is Jan.
Uh-huh.
Marilyn.
Yeah.
We just have two in our office, but I would rather have you bump that till they can go in person, have a nice lunch, and make it nice, because that's one of the few perks of working in this dumb little office is that conference. And so I'm fine doing the spring conference by phone, but even if you have to bump theirs to the fall or in place of something else, I would love to see the prosecutor assistants be able to have a fun conference in person when all this stuff's behind us. So that's my two cents.
Okay, as it, we met yesterday over the phone, the board did, and depending on how things work out, I mean, the conference is set, everybody is confirmed. I haven't told the hotel anything yet. No brochures or flyers have come out yet, but based on what you folks say, how things, you know, come out mid-April, I guess, is when we'll decide. But the board recommended that if we do postpone it, it would be like the first week in September.
And,
which is another fiscal year.
Our three will go when we can do it.
Okay.
Okay, so Marilyn and I are looking. Here, I'm going to walk over to Marilyn's office, so pardon the pause for just a second.
Mine's still trying to come up.
Oh, well, here, then you come to my office on your phone.
Oh, mine's up now.
Okay. I know the short answer, Stephen, in answer to your question is we're okay, but we're not great. Can you tell from this? That saying that we're down, going to be down 3,400?
Yeah.
Oops.
But this doesn't account for recent deposits either.
Okay. Okay, so
I would say we're okay.
Yeah, we are maybe barely breaking even. Right now we're showing that we are to the negative $3,400, but that doesn't take into account any deposits that we have received in what the last couple of weeks in terms of like Tyson's grant or other deposits in terms of Marlisa's funding that we get from the legislature. So we're probably right around breaking even.
Anticipating a bigger, this is Robert Kosin, a bigger turnout for the spring conference.
We need to
where it's electronic and everybody's kind of staying in place. Do we think more people are going to view this?
Oh, yeah. That we don't know. If we base it on, if we compare it to what we did when we were in Logan, some people, I mean, that wasn't a great broadcast. We had some technical difficulties. We had never done it before. You know, we did the best that we could. And so if people know that it's going to be a live broadcast, that may turn them away. We're going to advertise this pretty heavily that we're using the same system as Layton, that it's professional. It's, you know, there's not going to be that technical problems. And so we're hoping that our numbers will be the same. But until we, you know, actually see what our registration is the day of, I'm not sure if we'll be higher or lower.
What do we usually get for spring conference?
Oh, Marilyn, what, 300?
300.
Yeah, right around 300.
Speaking for Salt Lake County, the number and whether we have attendees sign up is going to be directly related to the cost.
Right.
We are, like I said, we're really anticipating strict shortfalls, and the training fund and travel training expenses is a much more palatable area to cut than layoffs or reductions.
Oh, of course.
Which we don't want to get into.
Right.
So if it's a very low-cost conference, you can expect that Salt Lake County's 300-plus employees are very likely to participate. If it's more expensive, we're much less likely to.
Right, and that's a good point, is with it being a lower cost, maybe we will have more people. Director Stevenson, you know, our law enforcement numbers have been down in the past, and I don't know why that is, but do you know if, would that have any effect? Would officers be interested in this if it was a low fee, or do you even get a sense that officers just don't participate because we bring this to them later in the year?
I think the latter.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think the latter, Bob, that it's offered later in the year. I think that's why they attend that.
Yeah, okay. But again, to Will's point is, if they're going to send 300 from Salt Lake alone, that would make our normal numbers, and then everybody else would just be gravy on top of that. So.
Well, and I want to be clear, I can't commit to every single employee will attend, but if we've got a low cost, it's going to be the green light for our employees to get the CLE.
Right. No, I get that. Well, sure. It's just, as you said, if it's cheaper, we might get more people, and as you said, other jurisdictions may send more if it's less. But that's for you guys to mull and think about and decide. Okay.
Well, even at the 125, my guess is that's the cheapest CLE anybody's going to get anyway.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I've also been told by my clerk, look, budget-wise, start watching out because the money's not coming into the county like it normally does. That's for the small counties. I think we cover our costs in this one here, make a little bit of money to cover any shortages we may have right now. If you took it down to $50 per person, if you have the 130 that already signed up, you've made a few thousand above what our costs are going to be already.
Right.
And that's just with people who have already signed up.
Right.
If you were to get to your 300 people at $50, you're looking at $12,500 with an expense of $4,500. You made $8,000 profit off this conference.
Right.
So I think 50 would be the high point where we should start from on this, and that's my opinion. And this is Stephen Foote. So,
Bob, this is and Council, this is Craig Barlow.
maybe most of you probably know, but the CJC symposium has been canceled, and that was also about a 10 to 12 credit CLE opportunity, which will not be available. And we would get, of the 800 or so people at the symposium, we'd probably get 150 or 200 prosecutors. So I think prosecutors, particularly those who need to report their CLE this fiscal year, are going to be looking for CLE opportunities, because I'm guessing that a lot of out-of-state travel CLE is probably being curtailed. So I think you're going to get, even though it won't be the premium conference experience that other conferences have been, you may get more people just because it's the only game in town, and even local conferences are being shut down or reduced. So I think you could get 400 or 500 people, and so a lower amount. I'm not sure I agree with Steve that 75 seems like still a very workable discount and gives you guys a little bit of cushion. But I think you may be getting more numbers, not fewer, because of the other restrictions on travel and gatherings.
Right.
This is Will Carlson again. I promise I'll stop and off license soon. But at $25 each, assuming only 200 instead of 300 people came to the conference, that would still be $5,000, which would more than cover the cost. If we have the same amount, or as Craig just mentioned, more than expected at 25 a person, it would still bring in far more than the anticipated cost of the conference. And so I would recommend that we go, again, lower rather than higher.
This is Montgomery again. I'm with Craig on this one. I think being the only game in town, and I understand money's tight for everybody, but even at 75, the cost for credit hours, I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, that's a bargain at 75.
Yeah, the bar charges for their normal things, they're like $100 for an hour.
Is there some reason we can't say that if there's this Robert Coulson, if there's an office that's spending 100, then this is the total cost for those 100 people, and they have to pay that? That's how much they pay for 100 people. If they're sending 200, this is how much they pay for 200. And there's a built-in discount just because of the number of people that they are bringing in, because the increased number isn't any increased cost for putting on the conference. But there may be some value in reducing the overall amount, per person amount, that office pays if they're committing that many people have signed up and that's what they're going to pay. We're from a small office, but we have, you know, seven, eight attorneys, something like that, and some of our civil attorneys are going to attend this conference because they have to report this year and everything else has been canceled, so...
Marilyn, can you do the bookkeeping for variable rates?
what was just proposed would be really hard to do. I mean, Ron would have to, you know, put it into our system. Ron, what do you think about that? I mean, I could, but...
I don't know how right now, not having looked at it, I could even do that as far as marking it on the registration form, but as far as just bookkeeping, we could call it whatever you wanted and call it. I mean, you know, when they pay, you say, well, that's all we need, but doing it electronically so that everybody gets the right amount would be kind of tough to figure out, because you don't know when one person registers, I don't know how many more are going to register, so how would I apply a discount, you know, electronically? Until the day of the conference, I wouldn't know what to charge if we did it that way.
So let me just chime in. So it sounds almost though, you know, with Robert's numbers, I think Salt Lake or the AG's office are the only two agencies that would have even 100 people to send. If we were to do that, Ron, could we wait until the day of the conference, you know, not have either agency prepay, but we keep track of how many are attending, and can we check them in, register them without a payment, and then bill them afterwards, Ron or Marilyn? Could we do it that way?
That way would be just a manual figuring it out.
Bill, yeah.
For whatever it was, yeah.
It'd be possible.
I just want to make sure, you know, that we let the council know that, yes, it would be an inconvenience, but we could do it if that's what the council's decision is.
Isn't it somewhat, if we're going to be subsidizing anybody, shouldn't we be subsidizing those that are least able to do it? Wouldn't those be like the super small jurisdictions as opposed to the largest?
That's a fair point.
Well, and again, so Salt Lake County is not proposing that we get a lower rate than anyone else. We're proposing a low rate for everybody.
Right.
We want to just mention one point, and that's this idea that, well, this is the only game in town, so there's going to be a lot of attendees. Our office is still doing online, in-house CLEs, and we're not forced into this. And so I don't want to give anyone the false impression that regardless of the price, we're going to be participating equally.
Yeah, we know.
For bookkeeping and keeping track of it, everyone, honestly, just a flat rate. Just whatever you decide would be the easiest way to go, and then credit whatever needs to be credited back to those that have already paid the $125. But I'll do what the council directs me to do.
Well, what's our number?
Our registration numbers as of today.
No, I mean, what's the price? We kicked around a couple of ideas. $25, $50, $75.
We've had $25, $50, and $75 recommended.
This is Ryan Peters. Let's say we go mid-range. I say we do what Steve Foot suggested and do the $50.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I'll make that a motion.
I'll second it. This is Craig.
Any discussion?
This is Jim. I'd make a friendly recommendation that we charge non-prosecutors $100.
I'd amend my motion to reflect that.
Non-prosecutors, you're meaning defense attorneys, right?
Correct.
You're not talking about the civil guys.
Correct.
Defense attorneys?
I think before we had talked about simply leaving them at the rate that was previously established for them. Is that not right?
Leave it alone.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
So is that a withdrawal of that friendly amendment?
Yeah. I'll withdraw my amendment to the motion.
Okay, so we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Salt Lake County, no.
Right.
Okay. So let me get this straight. We have a motion of $50 for registration fee, seconded, and Salt Lake County opposes?
Yeah,
that's correct.
Okay.
But Marilyn, with an understanding that the 50 is for government employees only, not for private defense attorneys.
For public
correct.
Only. Okay. Okay.
Also,
contract prosecutors.
Right. For prosecutors, the public attorneys.
Yes.
Marilyn, just for the purposes of my notes, what was the original cost of the spring conference before all this happened?
What's the original cost total?
The original registration fee.
It's $125.
Okay, thank you.
And this $50 is going to cover both the cost as well as our cost of paying for the CLE fees for each person, too, is right?
Yes, that's included. That would cover it.
Okay. And that's all we needed to talk about, at least for this meeting. So what we're planning on doing still is our next meeting, our regularly scheduled meeting, will be April 29th at 10:30. As I put on my agenda, it'll be BYOF, bring your own food. We have a GoToMeeting account, and what we're going to try and do is do a video feed. You can call it on the phone, but if you've got, you know, a camera that we can join in, but Ron and I will put together some instructions on how to access that, and we'll plan on our regularly scheduled council meeting to be a video meeting on GoToMeeting.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to discuss? Okay.
No.
As I said to the county, and let's see, it was only Will and Jan that were on the call, is the ACLU has filed a petition yesterday, and Will, help me make sure I'm getting this right. This is going across the country to release defendants from custody because of COVID-19. So what I'm putting together, and I'll send this to the council as well for your reference, a summary of what other states are seeing. I've got two copies of lawsuits, and I know I have for sure one response. I'll double check to make sure that I have if there's a second response, and I will get all of that out. I'll get it to Margaret Olson, the chair of UCDAA. I'll send it to Jeff Dierman, the executive director of SWAT, and to you folks, just so you kind of know what's happening in terms of jail population arrests and whatnot with COVID-19.
All right.
Oh, and Craig, I'll send it to the AG's office as well.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Stephen, Mr. Foote, I guess that's all.
Appreciate your everyone's work today. We'll adjourn then. I don't think we need a motion.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Stay safe and healthy.